As I said, homework three is out. I don't know if you guys were able to take a look at it. I don't know if anybody had any questions about the homework. It's due a week from Monday, so October 18th. So maybe you guys will have more questions next week. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity if anybody had any. I recommend that you just read through it before Monday, and then if anything, yeah. Should I post like lecture X, slide X, Y? That be easier?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to remember to do that. Anything else before? Here we go. So let's start with, this is one question that doesn't have a right answer. It's just your opinion. So let's say you have this problem. If X is a Boolean variable that says you see cheating. X is true if you see cheating, X is false if you don't see cheating. Y is true if you report what you see, Y is false if you do not report what you see. Z is if you see cheating, you must report what you see. Which of the following representations of the Boolean function is easiest for you to understand? Or it makes more the most sense to you? For C, I guess you can't really see the wires, but X goes into the NOT, so the input of the NOT gate is X, and then the output of the NOT gate and Y are both the inputs of the OR gate, and then Z is the output of the OR gate. So that kind of representation. Which one do you find easiest to understand? They're all valid. Well, maybe I'll stop at 1:30. Okay, getting ready to stop. Okay, so it's basically a split between A and D. Okay, cool. Very few people like C. Any other ones? I was expecting people to hate B from experience. Okay, none of these, I understand that too. That makes sense. Okay. So people like A and let's see this one. So, don't do this anymore. All right. So you have, if you want to make an if-then-else gate, you will need one OR gate, one NOT gate, and two AND gates. If you want to make an if-then-else K gate, you will need K if-then-else gates for any K. K can be any number. How many AND gates do you need to make three if then else K gates? A, 2K, B, 6, C, K, D, 2, E, 6K. Stopping at 1:40. ready to stop? Okay, good. Majority answer is the right answer. Let's see. B6, right. So if K is 1, then we would indeed need 6 AND gates, right? If I have... an if-then-else gate... this is one if-then-else gate. If I make 3 if-then-else gates, if I need to make 3 of them, I will need 6 ANDs, because each if-then-else gate needs 2 ANDs. And the other one was... I forget. Okay. I think A and B, right? So A, 2K would... if I had an if-then-else K gate, needs K of these. And so if I make a one if-then-else K gate, I will need 2 K ANDs. But I need to make 3 if-then-else gates in this case. Okay, let's try with M&Ms now. So you have a size K M&M sampler that has the following things in it. So if you buy it, you can find one big bag that has K-1 red M&Ms, and then you also have K regular bags, each one of them containing 2 reds, so 2 red M&Ms, 2 brown M&Ms, and 1 green M&M. How many red M&Ms are in a size K, one size K M&M sampler bag? A, 2K, B, 3K-1, C, K, D, 3K, E, K-1. Stopping at 220. Stopping. Okay. Good. So we have one bag, the sampler bag has a big size bag and K regular size bags. Each big bag has K-1 reds. And each regular bag has 2 red M&Ms. So here, in here we will have K-1. And in here we will have 2 times K. Any questions?
No.
Okay, and we also, last time we talked about state machines, and we were trying to make Christmas lights, and saw how if the state variables, we had state variables A, B, and C, and we showed how after 1 second, the state variables go through the circuit, and then they're copied to the output, and then the output gets fed back into the input. And so let's see what will these circuits do? What will these Christmas lights do? If new A is equal to B, and new B is equal to C, and C, new C equals false, what will happen? What will the circuit look like? And the options are A and B have opposite values and keep switching. B, A and B cycle through all four patterns of true and false. C, A is false, B is true, and they don't change. D, A alternates between true and false, and B stays false. And E, A, and B are both false and don't change. We're going to stop at 2. Stopping. Okay, so I understand why this will be confusing a little bit, even though the majority answer was right. So this is confusing because, okay, you're telling me what new A and new B is, but what do I start with? If I want to make this table, what value should I start with? And so in this case, you can start with anything. You can just choose random values. So let's say, start with true and true. Okay. The point is, after a while, after things get into the pattern, what is happening? That's kind of the question. So we're starting with random values. I guess we have C2 here. Okay. And so we start with true and true, and we know that C is false. Okay. What is new A going to be? Well, new A is copying B. So new A is going to be true. New B is going to be equal to C, so it's going to be false. And C is going to stay false, right? So this is the first second. The second second, we copy these values, true, false, true. And what happens, true, false, false. And again, A becomes whatever B was, false. B becomes whatever C was, false. And C stays false. On the third second, everybody's false. New A copies B. New B copies C. New C copies false. There's no way this is going to change, ever, right? So no matter where you start, as you false, 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 when you see the pattern repeating, that's actually what the lights are going to do for the rest of, until you plug them out, right? So what happens is that they're always going to be false, no matter where you start, what you start with. Let's try another one. What about this one? New A equals B, new B equals A, and C, new C equals false. The same options. I'll stop at 2:30. Stopping. Okay, let's see. This one is also tricky. I think this has multiple correct ones. So why don't we start with... Okay, what happens if we start with false, false, false? Go ahead.
A copies B and becomes false. B copies A and becomes false. C becomes false.
Okay. What about now?
Same?
Okay. Start by being false. Okay? If they start by being something else, then that's not going to be the case. Let's try. So you have to find the most general one. Let's see if anything changes if they're both true. What's going to happen here? Well, okay, who can tell me? Who wants to tell me? Yeah.
True,
true, false. What about now? The same, okay? So if they both start by being true, then they don't change. So E is not true because it's not always true. It's not always the case that A and B are both false and don't change. That was the case before. No matter what we start with, the initial values of A and B, they're gonna get to false and they're gonna stay there. At this point, so what we tried up to this point are false, false, and true, true. We don't know that A and B have opposite, well, A and B have opposite values and keep switching. They keep switching values. Since they're equal, we don't know if they're switching values or not. So let's try where they're, something where they're different. Let's try true, false. What happens? So they're actually switching values. are definitely false. B is definitely false. It's never the case that for some initial value of A and B, they're going to go through all the patterns of true and false. What does that mean? They go through all the patterns. A is true and B is true. A is true and B is false. B is true and A is false. And they're both false. That's never going to happen. Okay, so B is definitely false. A is false, B is true, and they don't change. If A is false and B is true, on the next step they're going to be, A is going to be true and B is going to be false. On the next second, they're going to be this and they're going to switch. So they're definitely changing. Okay? So C is definitely false. A alternates between true and false and B stays false. That's never possible. And A and B are both false and don't change. That's not the case. That's only the case when we start with false and false. So the first is the right answer, the majority. Okay. Let's try this one. New A is not B. New B is A. And C is false. Stop at 2:20. Stopping. What was B? Yes, I think that's the right answer. Okay, so let's do this one. Since we need to start somewhere, we're going to start with random values for A, B, and C. Suggestions? Anything? True, false, false. Whoever's louder gets to make the choice. Okay, so random, completely random. Of course, C is always going to stay false, and we might, it's not even involved in A and B, so we can leave it out. But let's keep it in for now. So new A is going to be not B, so true. New B is going to be A, true. And C stays false. Copying that. Now on the next step, A is not B, so false. B is A, true. B copies A. go? Can we go to, is it ever going to stop? How do we know it's going to stop eventually?
It starts with itself.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see for repeats. But it can't not stop because there's a limited number of values that A, B, and C can take, right? Okay, so this one will be, new A will be not B. So true, B copies A. And so we got to where we started. How many different patterns do we have?
Four.
So that's the period. So, no matter, in this case, it does not matter where we start. It does not matter what the initial values are. If we start here, we're going to get this date, we're going to get this date, then this date, then this date. If we start here, we're going to get this date, this one, this one, this one, and then this one again. It doesn't matter where you start, okay? If, in the homework, I think I said you can start with these initial values and see what happens. I'm going to do the same in the exam. I'm going to say it doesn't matter. So you can just start with some kind of initial values. And that's going to be fine. Okay, any questions? Yeah.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
In the second line, so if A gets changed to non-B, so it becomes positive, so the current state of A is what has to be B, A.
This is going to be the new A. So it's going to be the A here.
Right, so shouldn't false be copied into new A because that's the current value of A, and you say B is equal to A after saying the statement A is not B.
So are you saying that this B is going to copy the A? I see. Yes. Very good question. So the question is, if we say new B equals A, do we copy this A? Is that your question? Why don't we copy this A? Because that's the new A that's happening now. We always, all the new values are based only on the old values. When I say blue A, I mean this A, the yellow A on the blackboard. If I say gray A, it's this A here. So you never mix, you don't, whenever you compute the new A, B, and C, you always use the old A, L, B, L, and C. You don't, yeah, that would be very, they'll get mixed up. Any other questions? I think we have another one. Let's try this one. This will be the last one. So this says not new A is not A, new B is C, and C is false. Same options. We'll stop at 1:30. Stopping. All right. Good. Okay, so this one we'll start with random values. Let's say we're starting with true and true. And C is false. A is gonna become not the old A, so false. B is going to copy C. New A is going to be not A, so true. B is copying C. even though I might have figured it out, because I want to reach something that I've seen before. That's when you need to stop.
So true, false, false makes A is going to become false. B copies C and C stays false. And now I reach a state that I've seen before, and I can stop because everything else is going to just be repeating these states. And that's what's happening. So what is happening? Well, B is always going to copy C, so it's going to stay false. And A is going to be not A, which we saw it's the blinking light. It's like it goes on for 1 second and off for 1 second and so on. What's the period of this pattern? Yeah. So don't count. Just when you compute it, just look at the states that are repeating. So ignore everything before. Because that's what the lights are going to do forever, and that's what we're going to look at.
Okay, so this was, for last time, we just told the lights to do something. And we saw that this was the traveling lights, and we actually found an expression for nu A and nu B and nu C. And that's going to be the circuit inside the Christmas lights, the brain of the Christmas light, are going to be that circuit. And so when, as you saw before the picture, the A and B and C go into a box, what's inside that box? Well, what's inside that box is whatever Boolean expression we come up with for nu A, nu B, and nu C. And we also saw that we have a reset. We have a button that does reset, and I just wanted to show you what that does. If you want to use, I forgot to upload this software on the website. You can download it on a Windows, and you can play with it if you want. Actually, for the homework question, there's one question that I want to talk about. The one with the Christmas lights, it's asking, what do the lights do? Describe in words what the lights do. And what I would like to see is people, you make the table and you see what's happening, and then you say, the first light is on for 1 second and off for 2 seconds, and kind of the language that I've used in the previous clicker questions. Lights A and B are alternating, stuff like that. So use it in words. You can enter it in this software, and you can actually see what they're doing. And so let's say I make C, so the reset button is actually X. And this is the button here. It's a small button. If I keep it, if I press it, that's going to make the reset on. So notice how C, the light goes on or off. Let's make this one X, for example. So when I press this button, that's going to make the light to be on. If I release it, it's going to make the light be off. So when we do that, we can say that, so we made this table, right? And we said that if we press the reset button, if X is true, that's going to bring all the variables to some known state. It's going to bring them to true, false, false, if something happens to the circuit and the lights go crazy. So it's the same with the computer. The reset button brings the computer into a state that is known. And so here, this is the program with the traveling lights, the lights that were going, and so on, with reset. And if I enter it in the software, so new A was C or X, new B is A and not X, and new C is B and not X. And then I'm making these A, B, I think, A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C, and so on. Okay. So, see, notice how nothing's happening. And nothing's happening because they started with false. And there's no way to remember some of the patterns that we did. If you started with false, it's not going anywhere. If you start with true, it's starting to blink. It's starting to do something. So remember the reset, what the reset does is it's making A true, B false, and C false. So I'm going to press the reset button, and this should get it started. And so notice when I have the button pressed, A is on, see the light that says A is on, B is off, and C is off. And if I release it, it's just going to go into the nice little pattern. Because when we start with true, false, false, this is, you know, doing what we want to do. And if it ever gets stuck, we can press the reset button. That's always going to bring A to true, B to false, and C to false. And that's going to get it going. So that's the purpose of the reset button. And also we saw that we don't actually need three variables to make the traveling lights. We can actually make the, not use the C variable, and we fill out the table to actually do the same thing, make the lights do the same thing by only using two variables. And we said that C, so the dark light is not A and not B. And in words, that would be, the C light goes on when A and B are off, which means, not A and not B. You need both A and B to be off for the C light to go on. And this was the traveling lights with three variables and the traveling lights with two variables. And again, I encourage you to use the Christmas software to, play with it and see how it works. If you come up with anything interesting, you can let me know. That'd be fun. I think we ended last time with making the timer, and the timer was, we decided that we're going to have a binary timer, and that it would count down from three three to zero, and then go back to three. It would just go in a circle. And so we said that on the first second, we want A and B to be on, because 1, 1 is binary for three. And on the second, we wanted A to be on and B to be off, because 1, 0 is binary for 2, and so on. So we made this this table, and we said, okay, our new B from this table, if you look at this table, new B is exactly not B. So whenever B is true, new B is false, and whenever new B is false, whenever B is false, new B is true. And we also made the truth table 2 formula for new A. So now we can make the circuit. We know exactly what the circuit is for this timer. And that's actually the timer program. And if I enter it here, let's say that this light is going to be the first bit, and this light is going to be the second bit. And I'm going to turn off the other lights. And this one needs to be... Okay, so B was... not B. So new B was not B. We don't need the C. We only use 2 bits. And A was a little more complicated. It was not A and not B, or A and B. Okay, and so you can see now that it's doing, this is four, this is 3, this is 2, 1, and 0, right? So thinking of these as the first bit, this is the second bit. When this light is on, this bit is 1. When this light is off, this bit is 0, and so on. And so it's counting down. How can we change these lights so that this light will be on when it's 4, this light will be on when it's 3, oh no, sorry. I keep going from 4. This light will be on when it's 3, this light will be on when it's 2, this light will be on when it's 1, and this one light will be on when it's 0. How can we do that? So we need to write an expression that is true when both A and B are true, right? We want it to be 1, 1. True when A and B are 1. A is 1 and B is 1. What is that? Go ahead. A and B. What about, so this one, we want it to be on when it's 2, when it's 1, 0. So when A is true and B is false. What would that be?
A and not B.
What about for 1, 0, 1? Okay, what about for 0, 0? Okay, so let's see if that works. So see, when both A and B are on, this light is on. then this light is on, then this light is on, then this light is on, and so on. Okay? So we can make the timer that way too. We can say, or, you know, we can buy a little light bulb and write with some kind of marker, you know, 1, 2, or 3, 2, 1. And then we're going to know exactly, okay, what is the counter, you know, what is the timer saying right now? It's saying 3, or it's saying 2, or it's saying 1. So that's how we can build it. Okay. Another one is we can actually use these state machines to make a binary addition. So we can use this circuit to make we have the values for if A, B, and C represent a binary number, new A, new B, and new C could be that number plus 1. So how do we make that? Let's actually do that. So, if A, B, and C are a binary number, a 3-bit binary number, I would like new A and new B and new C to be the 3 bits of that number plus 1. So, if I start with 0, 0, 0, I would like my new A, my new B, and my new C to be 0, 0, 1, because 0 plus 1 is 1. If my number starts by being 1, I would like new A, new B, and new C to be the binary number 2, which is 0, 1, 0 in binary. If it's 2, I'd like it to be 3, and if it's 3, I'd like it to be 4, and so on. That's 5, 6, seven, and then I go back to 0, because I only have 3 bits. Remember overflow? If I add 1 to 1, 1, 1, that's going to overflow. It's going to give me actually 1, 0, 0, 0, but I get rid of the 1 because I don't have bits to represent. So that's what I want to do. Okay? So now we would be able to write new A, new B, and new C as a function of A, B, and C, right? So let's see, what is new C? What would new C be?
Maybe I should write.
Let's call this C. What was C as a function of A and B? the, and that's the right formula for not B, not for new B. Too long. So that's C, new C is not C, new B is B and not C, or not B and C, which is another way of writing it, which is also not B equals C, and new A is that. A and not B, da-da-da-da, and so on. Okay? And so now we know how to make the circuit, and the output of the circuit is going to be, so number is going to go in, number plus one is going to come out. And that's, if you want to type it into the software, that's going to make your, this is actually the program. And this is another cute one that goes, well, you can implement it and email me and tell me what it's doing, if you want. So this is, again, we said that this is very much like a very, very simple computer. A computer is just a state machine with lots and lots and lots of bits. Lots of bits. They have very complex relationship between them. Much more complex than we can come up here. They have a very fast cycle time. Instead of 1 second, we said billions of times a second. They have devices that set the input. They have keyboards. They have mouse. They have all kinds of devices. And they have devices that show your output. And again, last time we talked a little bit about programming. We said that we can define a word. We can define what a word means. If I want to define a square, I can define it like that. And actually, this is a little too hard. But there are a few ways of making a square. There are a few ways of making a square. First of all, if I'm just interested in making a square, I can go and say when the flag is clicked, repeat four times. I can move however big I want the size of the square to be, so I'm going to make it 100 in this case, and I can turn 90 degrees. And that should make a square if I also do pen down here. So I put the pen down, and I click the flag, and the cat is making a square. And we said that, you know, you can either write move 100 step, turn, move 100 step, turn, move 100 step, turn, move 100 step, turn, or you can just say repeat, and that's going to make the cat repeat it. If I would like to do different sizes of the square in variables, I can make a variable, and that can be my size. The size of this, how big do I want the side of the square to be? And I can set size to, let's say, 100, or maybe I can set it to 50. And I can do, instead of move 100 steps, I can just drag the variables, and that's going to move however big I set the square to be. I set the size to be. And if I do that again, it's going to make a square. Let's move a cat. It's going to make a square that's half the size of, it's 50 now, it was 100 before. Another thing was that I can do this, or I can just make a subroutine called, which we said we can define square, we can define the concept of the square. And I can, instead of saying this, I can just say broadcast. Maybe I'll move a pen here. I can say broadcast square. So in this case, it doesn't know anything. I need to make a new one. And I'm going to write square. And what this is going to do is when I click the flag, it's going to broadcast square, but it doesn't know what square means. So if I want to define the square, I use when I receive. And it's going to show up here. When I receive square, do that. So let's try to, if I want to clean everything up, I just do clear. And now when I click the flag, it's just going to broadcast the square. It's going to go into the square and draw a very small square. Or I can move the size here. If I do this, let's make 150. Okay, so now what it's doing, the subroutine that is called square just draws a square that's a certain size. And I can change my size from the main script, the one where the flag is clicked. So I can say, okay, Set size to 150, draw a big square, then set size to 100, and draw another square. And what that should do is, it should make two squares, but notice how I never change the subroutine. The subroutine just takes a variable that's the size of how big I want the square to be, and it just uses that. And so that's very useful. It's making everything what we write much smaller and much easier. And so that's the square, that's the window that we talked about last time. We can set the size to different things, and it's going to change the size of the square. We said that we can use repeat to make everything look smaller. So that's called a loop, actually. And loops are very, very helpful in programming. And it's a loop that has a fixed size. I know that I'm going to do this thing 4 times. I'm not going to do it, 100 times. I'm just going to do it 4 times. That's the whole script. And I can also make a very, I think this was the one that I was using before. I can make a, let me get rid of these. I can make a square and then turn. And I'm going to turn 5 degrees. And I will broadcast square again. And turn 5 degrees. And what that's doing is, it's making two squares and it's kind of rotating a little bit. Now what if I want 10 of those? Let me put a 10 here. It's making 10 of them. Okay, and I can make, how many do I need to make? What do I have to change here to go for the cat to go all the way around? Well, it's turning 5 degrees every time. If I do 360, okay, it's almost done, but it's not stopping, right? Because every time it turns 5 degrees, so how many, it's 350 divided by 5, right? I don't know what that is. Does anybody have a calculator? I believe that. Is it? Yeah. Is it 72? I think it's a little less than 72. But anyway, that's not important. Also, I can tell it here, I can make another variable and tell it how many triangles do I want it to make, how many squares do I want it to make. So let's say number, and instead of set size to repeat 72, I can say repeat number. And I set the number to something. I set number to 10, and then it's going to make 10 of those. Okay, it made 10, and it stopped. And so on. So loops are very, very helpful. So if I do, I can also do an infinite loop. Instead of saying repeat number, I'll get rid of this repeat. And there's a loop that in control under control that says forever. And that's a forever loop, and it never stops unless we kill it. So see, notice how broadcasting square and turning, now it's in a forever loop. And if we don't, we can stop everything, which I'm going to do. That's how you can stop it, but it's not going to stop on its own. And so another very interesting loop is what I call the nag loop, which is a repeat until loop. And the way it's working, it's also in here, under yellow. It says repeat until, and it has a hexagon, which means a condition. So the way it works is, repeat until what I want to happen actually happens, and it's repeating something while that condition is not true. So if I were to use an example from, you know, real life, I would say, you know, repeat until it's your soup is salty enough. You need to add salt until it's salty enough. So the way you would write that in Scratch would be repeat until the condition is it's salty enough. So when it's salty enough, you're going to stop. Unless it's salty enough, you're going to add salt. So that's how this loop works. So let's try this one. The question is, what does the script do? So when the flag is clicked, set time to 10, and then repeat until loop says repeat until time equals 0, and inside the repeat until loop, there is say time for 1 second, and time is the variable, play sound zoop until done, and change time by minus 1. So change time by minus 1 takes the value of time, and subtracts one from it. So what is the script going to do? And option A is if time is 0, the cat says the word time and plays a sound zoop. B, the cat says the word time 10 times and each time plays a sound zoop. C, the cat counts down from 10 to 1 and each time plays a sound zoop. D, nothing happens because time is equal to 10 in the beginning and it never goes into the loop. E, this is an infinite loop. The cat will go on counting and playing the sound zoop forever. Stopping at 2:10. Stopping. Okay, Taiwan. I think the majority is the right answer. Let's see. I think I have the script actually made. Is this it? No. Oh, maybe this is it. Okay, so this is, it's not a cat, it's a bat, but that's the same thing. Set time to 10. If time repeat until time equals 0, say time for 1 second, and play sound zoop, and change time by minus 1. And then for some reason I wanted... All right, let's do this one. So we don't have the... So we can hear the sound too. Okay. Then okay, and then it turns into a bat. I didn't mention that. Sorry. Okay. So notice how it says say time for 1 second, but time is a variable. It's not time. It's not the string. It's not the text time. It's a variable. And so it's actually saying whatever the value of the variable time is, the cat is going to say the value for it. Okay, let's try another one. This is when flag is clicked, it's the same exact thing, except inside a repeat until loop, you change time by one. And what that does, it's adding one to the value of time. Whatever the variable is, it's adding one to it. And you have the same options. The question is, what does the script do when you have the same options? I'll stop at 1:30. Stopping. Okay, good. So the problem here is, let's go back to the bat and change time by one. See how you can see the variable time, actually. So what's happening is, time starts by being 10, and then you keep adding to it. And in the repeat until loop, let's see if I can make this. I can't. But in the repeat until loop here, you're saying repeat until time equals zero. So you're going to stop when time equals zero. The problem is, inside the loop, you're changing time by one. You keep adding one to time, so it's not going to be able to reach zero, so it's going to go forever. So it's, you know, keeps adding to it. Okay. Good. So there's a few kinds of loops. There's the repeat loop, which is a fixed repeat four times. It's a fixed number of times that you repeat what you wanted to do. And this is appropriate when you know exactly how many times you wanted to repeat what you want to do. It's not as flexible as a repeat until loop, which says, okay, I want you to stay and do this until something that I want to happen happens. And that's a little more flexible. And then the most flexible one is recursion, which Scratch is actually not able to do. But I'm going to explain, it's a very powerful concept in computer science, and I'm going to try to explain it to you before we're done for today. So I'm going to skip these. Let's see. Maybe I should go over these first, though. Okay, so this is an infinite loop. And what the infinite loop says, okay, this is just an example and we had it before. I set the size to 50, and then in a forever loop, I just make a square and I turn 5 degrees. And then I make a square and I turn 5 degrees. And this is going to go forever until we press the stop button. If we don't press the stop button, it will never stop. If we just want to make 4, instead of the forever loop, notice how we replace the forever loop with repeat 4. And that's controlling how many times your square is going to be drawn. So that can be good if you just want to make 4. This repeat 4 actually means, you know, what's actually going to happen is you copy, broadcast whatever's inside the repeat 4, you do it 4 times. And you can see it here. This is exactly the same script. And it's going to do exactly the same thing, but it's just saying broadcast square size and weight, turn 5 degrees, 4 times, one after the other. And obviously, this is a better way to write it. It's a shorter way. And it's because they're doing the same thing, this is preferable because you don't spend as much time dragging blocks. and thinking about it. And so you also can use, so this is the same exact thing written with the biggest, you know, the most, the biggest way to write it, the, you know, most blocks used, so the most efficient, inefficient way. Then you can use a repeat for loop, and you can also repeat, you can also use the repeat until loop. And the way to do it is you just set a counter to 4, and you repeat until the counter is 0. And inside the loop, you're going to change the counter by -1. Just the way we did it with a cat that was counting the time. You had a time equals 10, and then each time you're going through the loop, you're subtracting 1 from the time. And so see how everything that we can do with a repeat loop, we can also do with a repeat until loop. But not everything that we can do with a repeat until loop, we can do with a repeat loop, which makes the repeat until loop a little more flexible. And so, so this is exactly the same thing. You can also use if statements. So you can have, if the counter is not equal to 0, then you're going to make a square. If the counter is equal to 0, then you're not going to make a square. So you can use if too. And so recursion is this idea of, okay, if I want to define something, if I want to make the definition of something, is recursive if I'm using that something in the definition of the word, of the concept. For example, this was a picture that I got from the internet. Somebody's, I guess, using their webcam or a mirror. They put their computer in a mirror, and you can see how, you know, it's this computer in the mirror, but actually it's this computer again, because you can see the mirror image, and I'm sure you probably are familiar with that. So you can see the same computer over and over again, and if I were to describe to you this image without you guys seeing it, I would say, this image is a computer, and on the screen of the computer, it's the same computer. And on the screen of that computer, it's the same computer, and so on. So I'm using, when I'm describing this computer, the screen of the computer, I'm using the same exact computer. This is a box of cocoa, where this lady is, you know, serving the cocoa, and on the tray is the same exact box of cocoa. And so on, you know, the same lady with this tray and probably the same box of cocoa. And on, you know, eventually this has to stop. It can't go for infinity. But, you know, you have the description of this picture would be, okay, it's a lady that is holding the box of cocoa that I'm telling you about. This is a very cool cartoon. This guy is asking how many people are in your, you know, company. And this person is saying, it's me, plus everybody in Department 2, plus everybody in Department 1. And so I'm not sure how many people are in the company, but it's me plus, and if you know exactly how many people are in Department 1 and in Department 2, you know exactly how many people are in the department. And this is actually reduction. It's saying, I don't know how many people are in this company, but I know that it's 1 plus sub-problem Department 1 plus sub-problem Department 2. And then this guy says, in my department, it's me and all the members in the project 1, and all the members in the project 2, and so on. And at the end, this needs to end somewhere, right? So if this guy was going to trace it all the way back to, you know, the last person, he will eventually be able to gather all the information. And that's exactly how recursion works. And we will start talking about it next time. Enum 10 actually is very, I think,